The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, world.
The whole entire world.
It's Degrads. We're back.
Hey.
Your favorite Degrassi Rewatch podcast with your hosts, Shane Kipple, Gavin Spinner-Mason, and that guy,
Mike Lobel, a.k.a. Jay Hogart. On this episode of Degrads, we are talking territorial friendships. We're also talking about how Shane is breaking all of his New Year's Eve resolutions. And we're also going to let you guys know how to know if you are being friend-zoned, just like Toby. How's it going, buddy?
Everything is good with me, man. Everything is good, except I've broken the New Year's resolution so early into it.
What?
I'm starting to, you know, eat better because every week, now that we're doing the video podcast on Patreon, I'm just seeing my face getting wider and rounder. Yeah, it's not great.
Don't blame it on the Patreon. Just want to bring up the fact that you can be watching us right now if you subscribe to our Patreon. We do a full video podcast there.
That was my most subtle, shameless self-promotion over there. Yeah.
Well, wait, hold on. So what are you eating? You tell me, what is worth breaking this diet?
Listen.
For?
You would think it would be just one, you know, special thing. It's not. It's anything. Like, I stay away. I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. I have an addictive personality. If there's something in my house that is snackable, I cannot just go for a couple bites and then leave it for weeks. The whole thing is getting got, you know?
And yeah, no, I get it. I'm the same way.
It's been cheese, man. I keep things like that out of the house, and then I'm starved for it, and I visit friends or family, and they have cheese, and suddenly, like, three blocks of Black Diamond to my face. You know what I mean?
Black Diamond? We got to get you some better cheese. Listen, I've got a cheese basket, and I'm shipping it to your address right now.
You absolutely are not doing that. If you care about me, if you ever love me, Mike,
all right, I canceled it.
Thank you. Oh, that was quick.
A friend of mine. Okay, so a friend of mine, a best friend of mine, who I'm not going to out because he'll be upset, but we used to be roommates, and his whole thing was, like, he would take a little square of chocolate from his big chocolate bar and have one little square every night after dinner for dessert. And I would just stare at that chocolate bar like a hungry dog. And I couldn't believe how he would just take one bite and then rewrap the whole thing and put it back. And I'm like, what is wrong with you, man? I mean, what is your problem?
There are two things I'm going to say to that. Number one, you missed possibly the only opportunity you've ever had to conversationally go look at something like a hungry hippo. You missed out on a big opportunity.
Low hanging fruit.
So, it was. And number two, funnily enough, from my mom. It's been this way because apparently my grandmother used to do it to her. Chocolate bar, always one chocolate bar, dark chocolate in the freezer, and it's a good quality chocolate bar.
You're a maniac.
That's the only thing I can limit myself to, one square, maybe two.
That's not right.
But oh man, have you had cold dark chocolate before?
This podcast is over.
All right.
If it was in my freezer, it would be gone. It wouldn't be in my freezer. It wouldn't exist.
But have you ever had like a Sub-Zero chocolate bar before?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good.
Delicious.
Well, you didn't react to that at all. I don't know.
They are delicious. Episode is about chocolate, okay?
Though it should be.
This episode is called Cabaret.
Yeah.
And as I'm sure you can imagine, it was named after Cabaret, which was the song made famous by Liza Minnelli in the 1972 film of the same name, Cabaret, directed by Bob Fosse.
Yeah.
And I got
not this episode.
Not this episode. That's right.
Yeah.
On the surface, the song, I listened to it a bunch of times. I remembered the scene in the movie. It's got like a darkness. There's a sadness to it. On the surface, it's really light and it's catchy, but underneath it's kind of, you know, it's about denial, because Liza Minnelli's character, Sally Bowles, she is leaning into the performance and the pleasures of cabaret theater, but the world around is getting really dark. I mean, like the Nazis are taking over, and in spite of that, she's kind of like choosing to continue this lifestyle, ignorant, blissfully ignorant of what is happening in the world around her.
Sounds like life is beautiful, except instead of the main character themselves trying to kind of blank out everything that's going on, the reality of the situation, and life is beautiful, it's what what was his name? Antonio Benigni?
Roberto Benigni, yeah.
Did it for his son, to make sure that his son was able to get
that's
through.
Right. That's a good reference. And in this episode, it's basically everybody in the episode is doing it. You've got Terry hiding behind this, her psychic abilities. Paige is using the mysticism to get what she wants. Ashley is pretending she's okay the entire time. I'm not even sure she's okay at the end of this episode. That was a weird twist. Yeah. We'll get to that. But I that's kind of how I see it relating to the episode. And then, of course, the quite literal interpretation, which is that at Degrassi, this week, they're doing a cabaret at lunchtime.
There's a cabaret talent show. There was a lot of weirdness. I'm excited to get into this episode. I'm going to be honest right off the bat. Not my favorite one. Didn't think it was the strongest episode. By the end, I was just like, nah.
End was strange for me.
To me, at least, the least favorite episode I've seen so far in season one. Got to be honest.
I think it did. I love all the mysticism stuff. I'm a huge Halloween guy. Do my seance every year, like the tarot and the Ouija. That was all fun, creepy stuff. But yeah, I agree with you. The end didn't ring true. I don't feel like Ashley was really being honest in the end there.
I thought the whole episode, I'm not just talking about the end. I thought the whole thing was a little thin, a little hollow. But let's get into it. This episode came out on February 12, 2002. And if Mike didn't say, let me reiterate, this is season one, episode 13, called Cabaret. Obviously, we know that. The writers were Aaron Martin, who did the story, James Hurst, who did the teleplay, and another episode directed by Lori Lind. So last week when I said, I can't remember if Lori did any other episodes, well,
this is
apparently at least one more. February 12, 2002 was 23 years ago and 11 months exactly as we record this on January 12th, 2026.
I don't feel younger.
No, neither do I. That's not the point of this segment. The top songs were, I'm getting so sick of this now, still in the U.S., Usher with You Got It Bad, Enrique in the U.K. with Hero. I'll never get sick of that, though. The top-rated show of this week was the opening ceremonies of the 2002 Salt Lake City Winter Olympics. 45.56 million people in the U.S. watched that opening ceremony.
Go Canada.
The U.S. finished third for golds and second for overall medals when they hosted the event.
What do you say?
Honorable... Honorable mentions to CSI, Friends, ER, and Everybody Loves Raymond. And in the box office, the topper is John Q with Denzel.
Wow.
Gotta get that heart transplant. Collateral Damage, Schwarzenegger, number two. A Beautiful Mind, number three. Big Fat Liar, which I don't know anything about, comes in at number four. And Return to Neverland, number five.
Oh, and wow. Now, that's still on my movies to see list. I better hurry up on that
list. Return to Neverland.
We open on Ashley at the piano while Terry's deep in a website about mystical oracles, tarot, spells, witchy vibes. This is Terry's presentation topic for her class presentation. And honestly, girl after my own heart, Ashley starts singing their cabaret song. It's meant to be a duet, but Terry... Well, she's not really feeling the tune.
She's not vibing with the tune.
No.
By the end of that first scene, Terry gives a look like it was reminiscent of the week before where like Manny finally got to her breaking point with Emma. It looks like Terry is about to start, you know? Yeah.
And does she
ever?
We are in class. And Liberty is hyping a lunchtime cabaret event over the school broadcast on those old CRT television screens that we all had.
And does the snazzy top hat flip.
Love her outfit in this one. She's killing it with the outfits. The cowboy boots to a tuxedo? Heck yes. I'm here for it. Terry tells Paige she doesn't like Ashley's song. Well, Paige immediately suggests turning the duo into a trio to, quote, jazz it up. But before anything can happen, Radich walks in and starts class. Mood killer.
And Paige also comes out with another Heather Sinclair line.
That's right.
Heather Sinclair's Highland Sword Dance. More embarrassing than Heather Sinclair's Highland Sword Dance. So is this like Highlander or is this like the Scottish Highlands? Like what would this be in your opinion?
Mike? Yeah, I'm picturing tartan and kilts and I think, but aren't they kind of the same thing? Isn't Highlander like a Scottish themed?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Is he a hero? Yeah. He's not a hero. Is he a hero?
Well, he's a hero that transcends time, I think. Unless his head or his counterpart's head gets chopped off. That's the only way to kill a Highlander, by the way.
You've done your research. Ashley is pumped about the cabaret. But Terry lies straight to her face and says she's into it. Which she is. Most certainly not.
Don't lie, kids.
Lying is bad. Meanwhile, Emma and Manny are trying to sell Sean on Emma's animal conservation dance. He'd play the hunter. They are the Panthers. He is not interested. Hard pass.
What upset me about this is when Emma and Manny were trying to make the case... they were like, yeah, we're, you know, black leotards. We're wearing black like Panthers to honor the school team. Yet the school team is not the Black Panther.
That's right.
It's the blue and gold Panthers. The sand color. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So really, who are you honoring?
Did we have the branding worked out completely at this point in the show?
I don't know. We're still in the original credits where Paige... In later credits, Paige is being lifted up as the head cheerleader,
yes,
wearing a Degrassi Panthers outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might not have. Yeah, it's a good point.
Do you remember back to Basketball Diaries? What were the colors on the court?
They were probably blue. I think they were the Degrassi Panther colors that we used the whole way through.
Somebody check on that.
Andy?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for.
Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
He will be back very soon, so hang on, y'all. Andy's coming back. Okay, after the bell, Emma's very upset until Toby overhears and volunteers. Emma is thrilled. Toby shrugs. Hey, I do what I can.
Shooting his shot again.
Yeah, sweet, sweet, doomed Toby energy.
Can't wait till he discovers what he's really signed up for over here.
Oh, I feel so bad for Toby at this point. He just can't catch a break with Emma.
No. But, you know, can't fault a guy for trying. All right,
I want to get in. I want to get in there and teach him how to riz. That's what the kids say, right? Riz?
I think so. You got to have riz. You have to
Toby
have the riz.
Toby needs some more riz.
Yeah. It's hard when you're in the shadow of JT's riz, you know?
Oh, JT is full of riz, and he just makes fun of Toby relentlessly this episode.
Yeah, as he should.
Terry gives her presentation on tarot and the Ouija board in Mr. Simpson's class. The lights are dimmed. It's very eerie in there. Spinner volunteers, asking a question to the Oracle or the Ouija board. She's got a planchette there. Do you think Spinner is doing this because he's still like holding a torch for Terry?
Possible. It's possible. I have zero memory of that scene, of anything to do with that. I have the faintest of memories of watching the actual cabaret dance, but that scene with the Ouija board, cannot recall anything to do with that. So
it's lost to time. I think there was a twinkle in Spinner's eye. I think he's coming for Terry. I hope.
Oh, you think that was the motivation for the, like, being a stud?
Yeah. I think he was, like, trying to get up and help Terry and also, like, remind her that she should think he's attractive.
Oh, and Spinner whispers to her, remember, my cat's name was Rocky. Special mention to Simpson for the first time being relaxed.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because of all the painkillers he's on from last night's crime fighting escapades.
But he was really just
chilling
out
in the corner.
Oh, yeah. I leaned back in that chair.
Yeah.
So hard. I thought he was going to go down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Spinner asks the question, what was the name of my first pet? Terry goes into full trance mode. R-O-C-K-Y. Rocky. It's correct. Spinner's freaked out. And Simpson gives her top marks for this. I'd give her more for a demonstration of actual psychic ability. I mean, that's pretty awesome. I don't think the class is hyped up enough.
I don't think Spinner was hyped up. If that happened to me and I was not clued into the fact that the person was privy to the answer that they then came up with the board, I would be terrified. I would probably run out of there. Oh, by the way, you being the supernatural guy, is there any connection between tarot and Ouija?
No. I'm glad you asked. I mean, in the sense that they're both tools of the esoteric arts. Shane.
Okay.
They can be used in the same situation, same settings by the same people to get different. How I use them in the seance is different. Like, I'll give tarot readings, which is usually about people's fate and destiny, as it is in this episode. But then if we want specific pieces of information, names of things, dates, places, who we're talking to, etc., that's where you need letters and numbers.
Got you. That's where you're actually communicating with a being that is trying to communicate back in a way that you would understand.
Theoretically correct.
But it's not predictive. It's that's not the clairvoyance. That's the
totally
here and now.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for the question.
No problem.
Ashley tells Paige she believes in this stuff, like would fully trust a psychic prediction that had to relate to her life and making decisions. Mm-hmm. And you can almost see the light bulb go on over Paige's head at this point. Mm-hmm. She's up to something.
But when did Terry and Paige become so buddy-buddy?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like suddenly they're new best friends.
Well, they needed a conflict.
Best friends forever.
Yeah, no, I guess the writers needed a conflict and they were like, well, who could we believably pit or team up Terry with to go against Ashley?
Which is hilarious that the universal shit disturber in Degrassi is always Paige. It was Paige for Manny and Emma, and now it's Paige for Ashley and Terry.
She is the universal shit disturber. Mm-hmm. And I like this because we're actually starting to see this is challenging Terry a little bit. Terry's been like the best friend a gal could have the entire season. And now she's making some kind of questionable decisions because she just wants to please everybody and she can't. She's being tested here.
She can't please everybody, but right now it seems like she's really tired of pleasing Ashley. The unpleasable, if you will.
The unpleasable Ashley. Well, outside of the school, Terry is doing tarot readings and Manny pulls the fool card upside down, which I already knew what that meant.
Oh, wow.
I was like, she is definitely going to sprain her ankle in this episode now.
You didn't know that.
No, I had no idea. Your day will end with a twist, Terry says. Manny is understandably a little bit disturbed. Paige jumps in and asks the Oracle if they should become a trio. Pushing her agenda a little hard here. Ashley is very suspicious. While she's distracted, Terry slips Paige a pre-planted Three of Rods card. Paige, quote, randomly picks it up. Well, the Oracle has spoken. Paige's in the band.
So is Terry, you know, is she a medium of any sort or is she just a charlatan?
She's a charlatan. This is how I do my seance work, by the way. I've got tarot cards strapped to the bottom side of tables. And
it's really good. Just give people what they want.
Yeah.
Or they want to scare. Or precisely what they don't want. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah. It's the fire demon. It's the fire demon upside down. I don't even know what the images on tarot cards are.
Ashley calls BS immediately, says that Paige will make it all sexy and stupid. And she also points out
that?
Who wants sexy and stupid? And she also points out that Terry already knew Spinner's pet's name.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, like you told him that weeks ago. Don't you remember?
Did Spinner not remember that?
No, I feel like he didn't remember that.
He doesn't know what he said 5 minutes ago.
No, Spinner's a perfect target for her charlatan. He's a rube.
Charlatinery? Is that, would that be?
Charlataneity. And then chaos. Manny exits the school. She tries a dance move while descending the stairs and absolutely decimates her ankle. You can really hear the crunch, and they do a close-up of her ankle just fully. Ugh.
I'm pretty sure the outside of her ankle touched the inside of her opposite knee.
Yeah. It was gnarly.
Now it just sounds like a bowl of cornflakes.
Yep, as she walks. Well, she can't dance. Ashley connects the dots. The Oracle must have predicted this. So Paige is now vindicated, and so Ashley allows her into the band. I actually really like this story. Like this part of it, it's kind of fun and silly and dealing with mystical things and fate. I like it.
Yeah, sure, but they're... Yeah, okay. All right, fine.
Tarot cards, Shane. Tarot cards.
Okay. All right.
Paige suggests... This is the best. Paige suggests that the name of the band should be her name, Paige Michaelchuk, and the Sex Kittens. That would basically be like the equivalent of naming your band Spinner Mason and the Stud Muffins.
Yeah. But I mean, I love any of those, the creative names that people come up with for the star and then the supporting act like fits in the tantrums. But I think like, so I'm one of the tantrums, but Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats, that one is
that's
so
pretty good.
I'm a night sweat. Yeah, well,
I like that. Listen, I've played in bands. You've played in bands. We mm-hmm. have all come up with some pretty dumb band names in the past. But
oh, hell yeah. I was in a band called Left Foot Yellow. My buddy and I who Twister? Were in the band. Yes, we were playing a game of Twister. We were looking for band names. We were drunk romantic. One night. We're playing Twister, Left Foot Yellow. And we both put our left feet on yellow. And then we looked at each other like in this.
Bro.
Yeah.
Wild Stallions.
Like, what about Left Foot Yellow? Oh, yeah, that's way better.
And what was it before?
It wasn't
Spinner
anything
Mason
yet.
And the Studley Stutters.
It was Shane Kipple and the Ass Sweats.
All right. Emma, okay. Radich walks into class. Nobody agrees that the band should be called Paige Michaelchuk and the Sex Kittens. Moving on. Emma tries to train Toby as the new lead dancer. Mm-hmm. How's this going to go? He panics. He kind of puts up a bit of a fight initially, and she's like, fine, then it's off. But wait, then it's on again, because classic Toby whiplash, he actually agrees to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he couldn't let her walk away disappointed with him. Then it's his fault. It's not even Manny's fault for getting hurt. It's his fault for not taking up the mantle, you know?
And honestly, man, like, this is how friend zone happens. This is the slippery slope mm-hmm. into friend zone.
I got you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, you
no
need
worries,
someone to
sweetheart.
Talk to?
Yeah, whatever you need.
You can cry on my shoulder.
That's why no boyfriend ever will just be cool with the friend zone guy, because that's what he's there for, girls. That's what he's there for. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to us. You know facts. Exactly what's going on there.
I fully back that 100%.
Break in case of fight. That's what that is.
Been there, done that. We'll never do it again.
Yeah, multiple times.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So in the bathroom, Paige is trying on costumes. She and Terry are bonding over the song sounding like a cow is dying. This is Ashley's hard work. I feel bad for Ashley. Like, they are just taking her to town. Like,
yeah, but she's such a tyrant. She needs to be cut down to size.
All right. Yeah, okay, sure. Ashley walks in. Guess what? She hates the look. So Paige and Terry decide to make a better version of Ashley's song behind her back.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
They pitch it to Simpson, who immediately gets nostalgic about the zit remedy when they bring up writing it, this new version, on a synthesizer he's got in the classroom.
How excited he was just that they were asking him about the synthesizer. Like, so you've talked about this synthesizer before. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Yeah.
It's right here. It's got 15 different sounds in it, man.
Yeah. It's like Ross and Friends, where he's like, oh, what was it? When he was finding his sound. I don't know if you were a big Friends fan. Yeah.
This was very cute. Talking about the Zit Remedy, he sings the Zit Remedy song, and the kids kind of cringe.
Of course. They give him the look of like what I feel my kids will give to me when I play them music I listened to when I was their age.
Totally.
And those are the, ugh.
Dad, I hate Incubus.
Oh. Listen to the drums.
Yeah.
Listen to that splash cymbal.
Listen to this breakdown. Oh my God, what's a breakdown? They don't even do those anymore. And it's true.
Listen to this guitar solo. Yeah, it's totally like us being like, I don't want a guitar solo.
Yeah.
Guitar solos are lame. Just FYI there, we like guitar solos became really unfashionable while we were growing up. They just
Yeah.
Post grunge, there was no guitar solos.
Yeah, when they grunge just called it like it was the cock rock era where it was just guys up there. I think like that's Metallica was pretty much the last band standing when it came to Kirk Hammett just beautifully tying that second chorus in with the final chorus, you know?
Yep. Now kids just like, what?
Yeah.
Skibbity toilet. Rehearsal. We are in rehearsal now, and Emma is mid-interpretive dance. Toby is missing literally every cue. He jumps onto stage, flings himself onto stage dangerously. Eventually, he bumps heads with Emma, and she's just not having it. JT is cracking jokes all the while, but Emma quits the session, and she leaves.
Leaving Toby once again, going like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? And leaving us going, Toby, move on, buddy.
Chivalry is not dead. It is interpretive dance.
I wish with the soundtrack for that dance that they would have turned and just seen like two or three massage tables set up and people get that's what that sounded like.
It was it was a spa,
sounds of
a
the
spa
jungle,
music.
Sounds of the ocean, whatever it is.
Totally. Yeah. I liked it for one. I thought the dance was great. Meanwhile, Simpson is dropping a shockingly good retro disco beat, and Paige and Terry start singing Ashley's lyrics over it, freestyling. And it's like a pretty decent beat.
Was it? It became one as he layered more and more things in.
It started
but they
off
were so rough. Excited. Right off the bat, much like, you know, Jimmy's basketball music, where you're just like, okay.
Another example of like, this was made for the show, so it's only as good as we made it, you know?
Fair. Okay.
The girls loved it, though. They're dancing and they're freestyling Ashley's lyrics over top of it. Well, guess who overhears and storms in? Ashley.
She overhears from quite a ways away, too.
It is a bit of a distance.
Like, for her to just go right away without them singing at that point, like, that sounds like a rendition of my song.
That was weird. Because she notices it before the lyrics. So she would just perceive it as music.
Yeah.
But somehow she kind of knows. Maybe she's psychic. Facts.
This guy.
Ashley storms in, accusing them of hijacking her song. Paige says the Oracle should... Well, Paige, first of all, says that the song is way better, and Terry kind of agrees, although Terry's not trying to get in between them, these two heavyweights going at it. Terry is trying to kind of convince Ashley that, you know, this is a better version of the song, but obviously Ashley is hurt. So Paige says that the Oracle should maybe decide which version of the song they should perform. And Ashley kind of agrees because she does buy into the Oracle at this point. You know, she pulls a card, the High Priestess, which, by the way, I did know what this card meant. And Terry lies and says it means go with the new, which is
the opposite of what it means.
Yeah. But Ashley doesn't know that. She's just pissed. She's furious. She storms out.
She's starting to clue in, I think, a little bit there, that every answer seems to be going Paige's way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she's smart. Ashley is very smart.
She's smart, but also, if she trusts in the cards, She trusts in the cards. She trusts in the process. And she said, like, you know, who am I to argue with the oracles? If multiple signs are pointing you in the same direction.
Yeah.
Couldn't that also just mean that the oracle is guiding you the way that it's meant to be guiding you? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you get two things going in the opposite direction doesn't mean, like, well, you know, my whole belief system has to be restructured now. It's like, no, you just don't get your way, child.
Yeah.
Or also, do you see how Simpson tried to smooth it over and then just skips town right away?
This is such a weird conversation, an argument for an adult to be mediating in, because they're talking about oracles and fate and cards. And, like, what do you say? Like, hey,
well, no, he was yeah, just sure, talking about the oracle. He was just talking about the song. It's like, oh, don't worry. Yeah. He's like, Ashley, we have two tracks. We have the original. This is just a new one. We have them both. All right. So there's no problem. And then he's just like, all right. He gets the hell out of there. You kids go.
He knows what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
He knows that he stepped in it and he facilitated the stepping of it in, you know what I'm trying to say. Okay, so it's showtime right before the cabaret. Ashley shows up with receipts. She's got this printout that she's printed off of the internet. And she confronts Terry saying, I went home and I researched what the high priestess meant. And guess what? That ain't it. You lied. The high priestess actually means to stick with the original, not go with the new. Mm-hmm. Duh, I could have told you that. Terry admits, finally, that she lied because Ashley never listens to her ideas. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. But she gets right into it. I also am wondering, like, I should have asked this before, but why is Paige literally just born to stir things up? Because why, if she hated the music, she doesn't really get along with Ashley, why did she want to join their cabaret in the first place if she thought she could just do something so much better?
Yeah, she could have just written her own song and
signed up. She could have just written her... Exactly, exactly.
But I do think Paige is maybe more of a tastemaker and less of a creator at this point.
So she needed to remix Ashley's song.
Yeah.
She needed to sample Ashley's tune.
That's right. She needs the raw material to work with.
She would have done really well in the music industry today, then.
That's exactly true. She could have been an A&R executive.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're jaded, folks. Okay, cabaret time. Liberty is hosting in her tuxedo and her top hat. What an awesome outfit. First up is Emma and Toby's dance called Endangered. It's a lot. Animal noises, awkward choreography. Manny shoots them with her crutch because she's immobile. The crowd is laughing. They are giggling. In fact, they are out of control laughing at them, not with them at this point, until Sean stands up and he tells everybody to shut the heck up. And he's a pretty menacing figure in this moment. So they do. The entire school shuts up. And you can see Emma kind of like notice him do this. And it warms her heart.
And Toby, who is making the biggest sacrifice to embarrass himself on stage for Emma, now has to tell her to get back to her performance because she's too busy swooning over Sean.
Ugh. Yeah. Toby, who is basically making all of the same mistakes he did in rehearsal, by the way. He has not improved at all.
No. Well, they didn't rehearse again. Emma kiboshed it.
Yeah, there's no rehearsal. That's her fault. That was the nice thing about grade school and high school. You could just not rehearse something and, you know.
Arguably, rehearsing made it worse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that probably
doesn't make any sense.
That's probably true.
Because then someone would come to you and go, wait, you guys practiced that? Versus, that's our first
I see what
time.
You mean. Yeah, it would make it worse. You wouldn't have an excuse for being so bad.
Exactly. No, like the school talent show or like the school play at the end of the year where all the parents have to sit there and pretend to be excited.
Oh, I've been to those. I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
or like me, I used to play piano. I couldn't imagine having to sit there for 4 hours and watch 3 hours and 58 minutes of mm-hmm. kids perform that are not your kids.
Yeah, they're not your kids. That's the thing. You're watching kids. All the parents are there for net 98% of the time for the other kids and 2% of the time for their own kid, but they still got to mm-hmm. sit there till it's over.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are putting in the work. We see you. Okay, backstage, Paige and Terry are fighting with Ashley because they've ripped her off, and they instead go on without her. Mm-hmm. Ashley warns them, however, this is very foreboding. She says, you know, if I were you, I might not mess with the Oracle, because who knows what could happen.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is like mob style manipulation here. Yeah. They go on anyway. And I thought something was going to happen. Am I alone here? I thought like some carry moment was going to happen, or some piece of the scaffolding was going to fall down and knock somebody out.
I really thought so. If it was going to be anything like Manny's mishap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for an injury.
Yeah.
Instead, on stage, Paige and Terry absolutely crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite an enjoyable dance performance.
Mm-hmm. Even Spinner and Jimmy were
enjoying it.
Yeah.
And they don't enjoy any performances.
They don't.
Yeah. No, they were totally into it. And I think I saw a little bit in Spinner's eye like, oh, yeah, that's my girl.
That's my lady.
Well, Ashley is backstage having conniption.
Lurking. Doing the Emma from last episode.
Hey, now we're starting to notice a motif between the two episodes. So this is like a director style thing.
Yes. Skulking.
I can't read Ashley at the end of this episode. I have no freaking idea whether she wants to congratulate them for real or whether she is secretly planning on murdering them in their beds that night. I have no idea.
You're talking about in the bathroom, the final scene?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get there. Backstage, Toby is about to ask Emma out. He almost gets it out, dude, at this point.
Yeah, no.
When Sean swoops in the knight in shining armor, Emma kisses Sean on the cheek because of what he says to the school. Toby sees this and he is gutted.
Gutted.
My heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. My heart is with Toby. He's doing all the work. He's really putting himself out there.
It's not about the work.
No.
It's not about the work.
It's about that those eyes, man. Those blue eyes and that denim outfit.
No, but we all know, we've all been in that situation.
Yes, the harder and that's why I got myself a denim outfit.
No, but it's that sad, cruel twist of fate where the person that you really like that just doesn't see you, and the harder you try, the less attractive you become to them. Yeah.
Like sand, folks. It's like if you squeeze sand too hard, it'll fall through your fingers. But if you just a light grip and it stays put. And that's what I've heard on the internet.
Nice. Eloquent.
Thank you. Finally, Ashley finds Paige and Terry in the bathroom, of course, because this is where all the showdowns happen with Paige mm-hmm. and anybody else. Shocking. And surprisingly, Ashley compliments them. She completely does a 180. Terry wants Ashley back because I guess she buys this. I'm not buying this. Like, I buy that she thinks it was good, mm-hmm. but I don't buy that she's not completely hurt by what they did.
Yeah, it's too much of a quick 180 just because unless it's back to like, okay, the Oracle obviously knew, but Ashley already debunked that by finding out that Terry's been lying to her to help her and Paige get their way. So yeah. It couldn't be that suddenly is like, no, in this situation, obviously you were onto something. So was it just a complete ego death going like, hey, I thought I knew, and then you guys came in and made some changes and the crowd went wild. So
could be.
What do I know? You know?
But like I feel like it needed clarity. I feel like she should have said something more like, you know what? Yeah, like I thought about it and that actually was really good. And
right,
you know, let's put this in the past. Instead, they do this all real sort of like quick 180. And all right, Ashley's back in the band, but we need a name. And then Paige suggests her stupid name. Except this time with a twist, she actually suggests the acronym PMS.
Yeah.
And yeah. Ashley again is like, no, I hate that. And Terry's like, well, actually, I don't need the Oracle anymore to make a decision. She dumps the cards in the trash. They're done. Terry breaks the tie. She finally makes a choice. And she says, the band name is PMS because I like it and it's 3-1.
And then Ashley's like, okay, I'll get nothing out of this and I'm happy to be back. And then nice big hug.
It was strange.
Also, PMS is not the acronym, the proper acronym for that, you know?
What is it? Paige
Michael
Track.
It would be PMATSK.
SK. PMATSK.
At the very least, PMSK, because Sex Kittens is not one word.
But you know, we got to do like this is a parallel between the Zit Remedy. This is like, is this going to be the new Zit Remedy? PMS. And PMS is very, you know, we're learning about, we're getting our periods for the first time. We're learning what PMS is. And zits are, you know, like a hormonal thing. It's all hormones. We only do hormonal band names in Degrassi.
Fine. I guess you keep trying to hammer that square peg into the circular hole. Eventually, you just got to shave down those edges, right?
And we freeze on the band name being PMS.
In an episode that I still felt was a little lacking a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
I don't know.
For me, I hear you. For me, it was a weird character journey there. I didn't quite buy it for Ashley at the end, but the spooky stuff more than made up for it. In fact, you could maybe call this somewhat close to a Halloween episode. You could dress it up as a Halloween episode.
I found that the stakes were not high enough for the A plot, for what we've come to expect for Degrassi standards, and therefore the super lightness of the B plot, and then the also kind of lightness of the A plot just made it feel like a bit of a filler episode to me.
All right.
TBH.
All right.
Shaney's hot take.
Shaney's hot take. Well, listen, that about wraps it up for this episode. Let's get to some questions. We love hearing from you guys. We are reading all the emails and all of your Discord questions and comments. If you've got questions, you want to hit us up in email, you can send your emails to dgradspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to join our Discord, dgrads alumni. And again, we also have a Patreon where you can get ad-free full video episodes days early.
Not to mention over there, we also answer all of your questions, every comment that you have on any of our response videos or the episodes themselves. We get to all of them.
Heck yes. Okay, so we got an email from Victoria, and Victoria says, "Hey, I'm such a massive fan of Degrassi. I have been for nearly 20 years. I started watching at way too young an age. For reference, I would have been in the same grade as Claire, Jenna, and Allie. And I've been watching since JT was killed." "My friends always said it was the show about the most cursed school in the world, LOL." Yeah, can agree with that. "By the way, Spinner is one of my all-time fave characters, and Jay is one of my all-time least favorite characters." What?
Hey! That feels like two wins for me.
Settle down. Anyways, here are my two questions. Can someone please tell me where I can watch the previous Degrassis, because I've never seen them and I've always wanted to. Also, can you talk about the many iterations of the opening credits theme song? Seeing the new one every season was one of my favorite things, and I have a favorite, but I want to hear about it from your perspectives. Thanks for doing this pod. I'm loving it. Victoria from NY. Thanks, Victoria.
So Degrassi is available on a plethora of streaming services. I think it depends on the region that you're in. It was on Amazon Prime for a while. It was on HBO Max for a while. It's on, in Canada, a station called Tubi. There is a pre-installed, I think on Samsung smart TVs, a 24-hour Degrassi channel that comes with it. And I think, as much as it hurts me to say, I think the full episodes for free are available on YouTube.
Probably. And then the other question about the credits. This is a funny thing because, and this is really strange, Shane, you're going to find this very strange. Maybe everybody will. But about a year ago, I found a video on YouTube that was every season of Degrassi opening credits cut together in a row. It was like an hour long.
Oh, no.
And I sat there. And I watched every single one. Shane, what's wrong with me?
I don't know, Mike.
Guys, I was feeling such waves of nostalgia, and I watched the entire thing, and then I watched the credits all the way until the show finished into Next Class, and I was really excited to see like the opening credits of the new kids, and it made me feel like I was part of a legacy that was continuing, and I just felt connected to multiple generations of people. It was kind of beautiful and kind of sad and kind of, you know, the salty sweet of nostalgia. And that's what I did for an evening.
Have you seen any of those AI generated videos where an actor is kind of aging as he's going through his projects?
Yeah.
Was that kind of how it felt for you?
Forever young.
They've
always got forever young.
Yeah, playing. I know. But
it was exactly that for me.
But the question was, what was our favorite of any of the opening sequences, right? Am I crazy? Is that what the question was?
I like the ones that I'm in.
Yeah. Any of the ones I'm in are great. Well, I think the very first one where Spinner smashes Toby's face into the water fountain and then Paige turns around and, you know, I have to give special mention to that because that was me for the first time in the opening credits for a show with my name on it. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, this is really happening. But my actual favorite one was when Spinner is the outcast in the group after news comes out that he was involved in Jimmy's shooting. And it's the one where the whole group of friends are laughing in the classroom and then they turn to Spinner standing at the doorway who just hangs his head and then walks away.
Yeah,
that's because it's just so
sad.
It's
Spinner
so funny.
Credits.
It's so funny.
I really liked, I don't remember what season this happened at, but the music got really edgy at one point, maybe like season 4 or 5.
That was when we started doing our stills. That was
the dark hallway stills.
Was that? No, like with with us doing like the 80s.
Yeah, the
like,
moving stills.
Know. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I do the hat flip at the camera.
That's the one. Yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah. There was something about that because I grew up listening to like heavy music. And so I thought, oh, this is cool. Like we're going dark and edgy, heavy. It's like, you know, shredding guitars and crunchy synth drums. And yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Victoria, for that question. All right. We got a Patreon question over here.
Ooh.
This is, by the way, this is Anastasia. I hope I'm saying
Anastasia.
That right. I feel like there wasn't a first date episode with Spike. I think the first time we ever saw her with anyone else was with Shane at Lucy's party, and they made Emma that night. LOL. Mm. There wasn't any talking. They just went into a bedroom and ... You know, that's because, okay, so Anastasia is asking this or pointing this out to us because we were commenting on whether or not there was a callback in last episode
with Spike talking about her first date,
right. and how right. it was just verbal diarrhea and right. she couldn't, you know, keep herself together and stuff like that. So just a little corroboration here that we didn't really see a first date with Spike. So interesting.
But that being said, was there, even though she made, you know, some sweet love to Shane and created Emma, was there not a time in that series that she then went out on a formal first date with somebody?
Yeah, I don't know. You know? Well, we are going to have to watch that after we do this.
It's on the docket, man. But first, we need to finish season one. We're almost there.
Guys, we are so close. 15 episodes. We got a few to go.
And we have some cool guests lined up for you, too, for the final two of the season.
Yeah. That is true. Very excited to do some guest episodes. That just about does it for us, Shane.
It does. I hate this time. It's like the build up to a big event, to a wedding, to in my case, a bar mitzvah, maybe. And then like the night passes and what do I do now for the rest of the week? You know,
you just shut down. You press the off switch.
I guess. Well, this was fun. I had fun with you tonight, Mike.
Not
like last week.
Yeah, no, last week was hard. Yeah. I just want to remind the audience to, if you guys are enjoying this podcast, do us a huge favor. Please vote for the podcast, rate it, review it on your podcast streaming app of choice, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whatever it is. If you guys do that, it really helps us get the podcast out there. It tells the algorithm that we exist. And I'm finding there's a lot of people that still don't know there's a Degrassi Rewatch podcast out there. So help get the word out by voting for this podcast.
Slap around that algorithm. Take back the power. But we will see you next week. We will have a guest in tow. Who will that be? Only time will tell. But until then, this has been another episode of the D-Grads Podcast with Shane Kippel and Mike Lobel. And we will see you next week.
Ciao.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.